Welcome to the Rider Nation Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to the Rider Nation Podcast. I am your host, Jenny Kate. Today's interview is with an author who I owe a big fat apology to. So Laura Kemp did this interview with me back in December, like before Christmas. And I am a technological idiot, and so I'm offering her a big fat apology because here's the background, just real quick. I tried doing Skype interviews a couple years ago, and it was a disaster. So I thought, all right, a couple years have gone by. Zoom has gotten some really good momentum, so we'll try Zoom. The interview was great. I had a lot of fun. She took time out of her day, and then I could not find the file, like anywhere. It had saved it somewhere in the depths of my computer, and I just flat out couldn't find the darn thing. So I finally found it totally serendipitously this summer, and I called her and I apologize, and yeah, I just feel like an idiot. But bottom line is we have it, and the quality is fantastic, and I'm really excited about this interview, and I think that you will be too. So 18 months ago, she put out a book called Evening in the Yellow Wood. It has gotten tons of really good reviews. And it won the National Indie Author Award for cross-genre. So it's a great book. And she talks about it in the interview. We get into kind of how she became a storyteller early on and then a writer later. And she went to Western Michigan where she was able to find a really great mentor. And she talks about him as well. So I really think you'll enjoy this interview. I had a blast listening to it again and thought it was just delightful. But before we get there, if you have not checked out the new website for Rider Nation, it's therydernation.com, and I am thrilled with this new website. My buddy Dan put it together for me, and I just think it's way more modern than the old one, and it's pretty easy to find stuff. So go check that out, therydernation.com. There are tons of free stuff, just tons and tons of free stuff. Of course, you got to give me your email address because that's kind of the way the game's played these days, but I have things on there like the ultimate guide for your social media posts so that you don't have to think about your social media posts anymore. There's another one if you're still trying to think through your author brand. I have a checklist there for you. And there are other things in the toolkit. One of my favorites, though, is a quiz. We put together a quiz so you can kind of figure out where you are on the team. Are you new, like a rookie, or you have some experience, so you're kind of on the varsity team? Or do you know your stuff and you're a pro? Whatever the end result is of your quiz, you will get a PDF that gives you a long checklist of things that you can do based on where you kind of think your marketing acumen is. So check all that out, therydernation.com. Second thing real quick, I put out a book, it's been about a year, maybe a little over a year ago, called Social Media for Authors. And I updated it back in May. So you can go check that out on Kindle. It's called Social Media for Authors, Marketing for Writers Who'd Rather Write, because I know everybody would much prefer to write. And I don't think that's a gimmick. I think there is a way to do marketing that actually gives you back time in your day, but it needs to be focused marketing. So that book was updated a few months ago and available to you. The second book called Ads for Authors, it's Advertising Basics for Authors Who Would Rather, spend time writing as opposed to marketing. I put that out in July. I'm really excited about that particular book because, there are a lot of books about ads. So you can find one book about Facebook ads and another one about Amazon ads, and then even another one about BookBub. But I couldn't find one that was just a comprehensive kind of overview of everywhere an author can buy ads to either advertise your author brand or your books. So I put that together. There is a section on what makes a good ad, so don't skip that one. But I think more importantly, the book is available to you to show you where you can do ads. There are a lot of different platforms, and some will work better for other authors and genres than others. So check that out too, Ads for Authors. You can get to it from Amazon. You can get to it from the website if you want to. But I'm really proud of that particular book because it just gives you one comprehensive overview. And again, as always, if you have questions after reading these books, just feel free to tag me on Instagram or Twitter or just send an email. I'm absolutely happy to help answer any questions that you might have. Okay, so that's enough of admin stuff. Let's get into this interview. Laura Kemp is from Michigan. She tells the cutest stories about her farm And this book is really great. I finally read the book and I loved it. So I think you'll get some really nice nuggets out of this interview. And I'll stop talking and just get to it. So here we go.
Cool. So really, you are like the first one I've done over like the internet since the Skype disaster. And I'm like, all right, I can't.
We shall never speak of the Skype disaster, shall we?
No, I think
never happens.
Well, the system's better, so I think that helps.
But, so we're not doing too bad. We just had a little audio issue. So yeah.
All right. So I want you to start talking.
Oh, okay.
Tell me how you got started writing, because I know that you went to college, right, at Western Michigan.
I did. Yep.
You studied under that famous guy. What's his name?
Stuart Dybeck. Yeah. He's pretty well known in the short story community.
Okay, so start way back before then. When did you start writing? Like, everybody knows I was like 8. So.
Oh, you have a starting point. You know, I'm weird that way. I don't have a starting point because I don't remember not writing.
Oh, that's
great. In fact, I would have my mom, and I put this in my dedication to my book. I had my mom writing my stories down before I could write.
That's
because I would think of them in my head, and she would lay down on the living room floor with me, and I would draw these terrible stick figures. I think Cinderella was the first story I wrote, quote unquote. So I would tell her my version of Cinderella, and she would write it down, and then I would draw these little stick figures. So I think I was writing before I could actually write or
You've
read.
Been a storyteller since like birth.
I think so. Yeah, I don't ever remember not making up stories and wanting to make up stories. So. I do appreciate my mom doing that for me before I was able to on my own.
So when you got to like middle school or high school and they started teaching like writing and creative writing, were you like, this is the fit for me?
Yes, I loved it. And I had a teacher in, I believe it was 8th grade, who she had us write these Greek mythologies.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of went way out on a limb and she was kind of like, whoa, what's going on here? I actually teach middle school. I'm going in a few minutes. You know, you have typical middle school story. And then you had mine. And I think she
was. We had your creative brain with like, hey.
This is a little different than the norm. So I started encouraging me. Oh, yeah. She was wonderful. She told me I needed to be a writer.
Nice.
And then I had a high school teacher that said the same thing. I subjected him to a first draft of a 400-page novel, this poor man. 400 pages, I wasn't even at the, anywhere near the climax of the story. So he would slog through that. But he loved the writing. He obviously gave me pointers in editing it down a bit. It's still sitting in a cupboard somewhere, that story. And then in college.
You have it though? That's so
yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll revisit it after I read all these books right on my TBR pile.
So you also have 4 children.
I do.
And do you mind, how old are your children?
Well, I'm remarried. So my stepson is 17. My stepdaughter's 14. My 2 daughters are 13 and 10. So now, 17 to 10.
Are any of them like, let's be writers, storytellers?
My 2 have done the Young Authors Day at school.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe my 13-year-old, mm-hmm. but nobody's really taken off and loves it. Like, for sure, the 17-year-old boy does not. I see his essays, and he's like, oh, write this for me. So he's definitely crossed off.
That's hilarious, because my 18-year-old daughter the other day emailed me and was like, I have a paper due. Help me. But so the reason I ask is because have you shown that 400-page, epic to any of your kids?
No, I haven't. Is it a drawer somewhere? I don't think they want to read it any more than they want to do their schoolwork. I'll really keep that away from us.
Let's talk about your farm, right? You live on a farm with a whole bunch of animals.
Oh, we do. And it changes day to day, I tell you, because, chickens come and go on our farm pretty rapidly because we have a lot of coyotes.
Oh no!
We live in Michigan, out kind of in the boonies.
Mm-hmm.
But we have 3 horses. We just got a new horse maybe 2 weeks ago. We have about 10 chickens. We have a lot of cats that show up. So I think we have 2 house cats and maybe 2 or 3 or 4 outside. We're not ever sure. They come and go. We have one dog. We had a dog show up 2 days ago, a golden retriever that we thought we were going to keep. But then his owners showed up, so we had to give her back. So we had two dogs yesterday. Today we have one.
That's how animals showed up.
Gerbils, too. We have some gerbils.
Oh, yeah? No, I can't do rodents. But dogs, I grew up with a bunch of dogs. And the way my mother would bring home dogs is whichever... I grew up in Alabama and Tennessee, and so they would leave the dogs on the side of the road when they did not want them, or puppies would be left. And my mother, every time we had a brood of like 4 to 6 dogs at the house.
You know, we want more than one, but our one dog is so spoiled by my husband that we just don't know. Like, is there room? Do we have enough love for another dog? I guess it's like kids. You find the room, right?
You do. So, and you find the love too.
We need to get another dog because I think she looked at me very sad today when I left. And yesterday she had that buddy that she was playing with.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I don't like puppy. I don't like chewing.
That's always true.
So I don't know what our dog situation is. Today it's one.
We move all the time. And so we had a dog about 12 years ago, and that dog ended up going with family member because we just travel so much. And my poor daughter has begged for a dog every time we move. And we're like, of course we're going to do that. And then we're like, I'm sorry, we just can't. So I'm hoping once we retire, which could be, 5 years.
Yeah.
But then she won't care, right? She'll be in college.
Yeah. She'll be like, you got the dog and now I can't even enjoy it.
Well, she's already said that after she gets out of the dorm and into her own place, the first thing she's doing is getting the dog.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah. All right. So let's get back to you had a teacher who said you should be a writer, and you had a high school teacher who encouraged that as well. So when you went to college, what you majored in creative writing, yes?
I did, and I'm so surprised my parents paid for that. So I can't believe they did it, but they did, and I got a degree in creative writing. So,
nice.
And I was with Stuart Dybeck. He was one of my professors, and he wrote on one of my papers. I was very nervous submitting to him because he was so well-known, and he only taught like one class a year, and I happened to get into it. There were only 10 of us. It was my first paper. I was so nervous, and I got the feedback, and on the top, he said, the talent here is obvious on my paper. And I was like, I still have it. It's in the drawer with that 400-page novel. I keep it.
Oh, that's so nice.
So it was what, and that was kind of the spark that, okay, Stu thinks that I can do this. So, and he was Stu to all of his students. We didn't know about all of his awards until.
Oh, really?
I looked him up later. I was like, dang. But he's just that kind of guy, super humble, super encouraging, super just all around great guy. So he said that. And I was like, wow, that was the fire that kind of, okay, I need to keep doing this. I need to send out. I need to try to get published. That's
so that
kind
gave
of what,
you kind of some a boost in confidence and sort of pushed away any imposter syndrome. And you're like, all right.
Oh, well, yeah. It still pops up every so often. But sometimes I get that short story out, which has since been published in a lit mag. I sent that one out, but I get it out every so often and read it when I do get an imposter. Cause I think we always have imposter syndrome that pops up whenever there's a new.
Yes, we do.
Challenge. Are you a writer too?
Oh yeah. I'm a writer too. I write spy thrillers and veteran, like military thrillers. I don't publish them yet. I've got like 6 sitting on a shelf. Well, I love it because it's, it's kind of what I do in my day-to-day life, but I'm not yet putting it out. So my father always told me to stop being in the military and just be a writer.
In 5 years.
I got to travel a lot too, so I can wait, I think.
Well, you have a lot of fodder for your novels now with all of your travels.
I do, which is probably why I haven't put them out yet, because I'm not done.
So
we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, so you get your degree, and you decide what? Are you writing then, or is that when you start teaching?
Well, I actually just got my teaching degree like a year ago. I was parapro-ing, and I'm still parapro-ing right now, because I'd like to get a job in social studies, and there's nothing open right now. But I was...
Wait, go back. What is parapro-ing?
It's assistant teaching.
Oh, okay.
And special ed. I've been doing that for like 15 years now.
Okay.
So I would write. I had a variety of kind of odd jobs, and I would send my stories out to various lit magazines. And so I started, after 6 months, I started getting some publications. And I don't even know if they're still around anymore, like Main Channel Voices. They actually sent me my first acceptance letter, and they sent it to Linda. Like, they even put not even my name on. I didn't think it was for me. And then they sent me another one, and they're like, hey, do you want us to publish this or not? And I was like, well, sure, but my name's Laura. So I thought you were talking to somebody else. So that was my first publication. And then...
Wait, when was that?
Oh, goodness. Maybe, I think it was before my 13-year-old was born. So 14 years ago?
So have you been submitting to literary magazines since then? Is that what you're...
You know, I did like a frenzy of it mm-hmm. for maybe a year or 2 years. And I got about 7 or 8 publications, and one was in Chicken Soup for the Soul. I did a Special Olympics story
nice. Mm-hmm.
that, you know, just lends itself to Chicken Soup anyway. And then I kind of got into writing this book, and it's so exhausting to constantly send out. It's exhausting
yes.
that I feel like I almost have to. It's almost like you either have to choose between writing or promoting.
So we're going to talk about that.
I can't do it. It's really hard. So I stopped and started writing this book, and then really dedicated myself to that for almost 10 years.
And so
then I rewrote it.
Evening on the...
Evening in the Yellow Wood.
Evening in the Yellow Wood. I love the title.
Thank you.
So tell us a little about how you've been writing that for 10 years. How did you get your ideas? And how did you develop that story over time?
Well, I moved up north to a town called Rogers City, Michigan, and I spent the summer up there. Mm-hmm. And I met some really interesting characters, and one of them shows up in my book. He's kind of a foul-mouthed bartender, and he was based on a guy that I knew named Squirrel. And he told me that I needed to write a story about him and the town. And I thought, well, why don't I? Because you're a pretty interesting guy. Mm-hmm. So I wrote kind of a straightforward, a little bit mysterious story about Northern Michigan. And then it just didn't feel right. So I completely rewrote it and added mm-hmm. a bunch of supernatural elements, folklore. It's really hard to classify this in a genre. This is a true cross genre piece. It has romance. It has horror, elements of horror. It's not a horror book, so don't let that scare you off. But elements of horror. And it became this kind of fantastical, magical realism that was totally different than the first story that I wrote. And it felt right. It felt like the story it was supposed to be. And mm-hmm. so I sent it out to a publishing house in Austin that a friend of mine was working with. And maybe 6 months later
yeah.
or a year later, it's, you know, publishing is waiting.
Yes.
And waiting and waiting and waiting yes. and waiting. So a year later, they contacted me and said that they wanted to purchase the manuscript. And it's actually a series. This is a series of 3. So the second will be out late spring, early summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sequel. So it has the same characters, the same setting with a few new thrown in. So that's kind of how it came to be.
Amanda, you said you had the bartender, Squirrel, and the kind of the townsfolk. Is your
yeah.
main character like anybody in your life or anybody? Or is it
she's kind of based on me.
Oh, you?
But, yeah.
You know, like they mail autobiographies, right?
25 years ago.
Yeah.
I say 25 years ago and 30 pounds lighter. That's me. So,
so this is Peter going through your adventures, right?
Yes, I mean, it was pretty fantastical. Obviously, I didn't have the same experiences that Justine, that's my main character's name, mm-hmm. has, but the local setting and the characters are based loosely on people. I tried to veil it, but a lot of the people know who they are.
Nice try.
So, hopefully I've made peace. I went up to the small town that it was set in this summer and had a book signing, and it was kind of fun because people were, is this person?
Did they? Oh, so they all knew and they were excited.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So
I've written
two about my hometown, and my mother is an attorney, and this hometown like in Tennessee is very small, like 20,000 mm-hmm. people in the county. And just leave our little town alone. We don't need to be in your stories as if I'm going to be a New York Times bestseller, right? I'm like, Mom, you know, I'm writing it for y'all, and it will probably sell like to y'all. You know, it's true.
You never know, though. So I guess you do want to be kind of careful about how you portray people. But
yeah.
I could take a lot of creative license, too. So it's not word for word. But, you know,
right,
you got to.
Right, right, right.
My second one, you write what you know about. You know
well,
your
my
town.
Second one is actually about a girl who goes back home and ends up running for mayor against her mother.
That sounds interesting.
The town itself is and I took zero license and did it exactly the way I remembered it. And what has been in the news, you know, like the little town paper. Mm-hmm. And I had a blast. And I'm like, Mom, you're just going to have to deal with it. This woman is not you, you know, kind of a whole bunch of people. But I had so much fun writing that little town.
Small towns are so fun to write about.
They're so quirky.
They are. They're quirky, and they have their little festivals and their little people and eccentrics. And yeah, I always love writing about small towns too. Much more interesting than a big city, I think.
Think about the festivals that you've been to. What is like the craziest named festival you've ever been to?
Well, there's a festival in my book, and it's called Salmon Fest.
Salmon Fest.
Because it's about a salmon tournament. But yeah, I mean, there's like apple, like blueberry days down here, and covered bridge days, and yeah, you know, and they're so fun. We love to go.
Oh yeah, we have Tennessee has a festival for every, so does Alabama.
Yeah, so does Michigan, I know.
But we have the Poke Salad Festival. And
Poke Salad?
Poke Salad. It's actually a plant, if I will get this wrong, similar to like an artichoke, from what I understand. And they have a harvest in this little county. And so they have, you know, they have the fair, and then they have the festival, and then they have the little beauty pageant. So they have the Poke Salad Queen, you know.
Poke Salad Queen. What does she wear on her head? I want to know.
Well, it is a beauty contest, so it's a crown.
Oh, okay.
The fact that she has a sash that says Poke Salad Festival, I love.
It doesn't wear some vegetable on her head, huh?
That's I think good. She has a basket of veggies from time to time.
She carries it around. Yes. Okay.
But I love that about small towns and all these, you know, interesting things they do to get people together. So
I tried to put that in the book. Like, there's the festival, there's the local bar, there's the eccentric, you know, characters, and she's kind of fish out of water. It was, I think somebody compared it to Heart of Dixie.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like that, except she's, you know, from southern Michigan, moves to northern, and she's fish out of water and, you know, meets the local cop and falls in love and with this fantastical backdrop. So it's got all, and I love Northern Exposure. That was one of my favorite.
Yeah, that's a good
one. You know,
one.
So it's got some elements of that because it's way north. And
yeah.
So yeah, I think it hopefully captured that fun small town stuff that
I haven't read it yet, but I will. And
right on that pile.
Well, I'll tell you this, in the reputation that preceded you and the reviews that came in tell me I'm going to love it and everybody else will love it.
Thank you. Too. I'm up for a Goodreads Choice Award right now.
I know. So if people are reading it, go to Goodreads.
Fluctuating up and down, and I won a reader's favorite recently. See? Bronze.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait.
This metal.
So let's switch real quick because we've only got just a couple of minutes left. I know you've got to get back to the classroom. So talk to me about the marketing that you have done.
I have an Instagram account that I sort of do a book baby thing. I try to be creative where my book baby has adventures. Mm-hmm. I do stuff like this. I am on Facebook groups where I try to pop in and do author takeovers. I've done, you know, newspaper articles. I've done TV shows.
Oh, that's great.
I'm so tired. I have four kids and all these animals. I'm so tired. So I mean,
TV
but it's,
shows.
I kind of, well, yeah, my cousin is a weather girl up in Grand Rapids. And so she got me on her TV show, which is wonderful.
That's
and, you know, I do book signings. Mm-hmm. I do the festivals that we were just talking about. Oh, the little festivals. So I've done.
You need to come down south and do the Poke Salad Festival.
I do. That's next. I tell you, it sounds like where I want to be.
So are you doing any advertising? Like, you pay for ads on Facebook or Amazon or anything?
I have. Yep. I paid for Facebook. I paid for Twitter. I paid for Instagram. I'm considering BookBub, but that's super expensive. I have to save up for that one.
Well, so of the ads that you've done and the marketing that you've done, which ones do you find to be the most effective for you?
I haven't done them in so long, but maybe I found Facebook to be more effective for me just because personally I like to interact with my readers and it's a little more personal. Whereas Twitter seems a little less personal. It's harder for me to connect on that platform. Yeah. They may just be me. A lot of people love it. Instagram is kind of somewhere in between the two for me.
Street team? You run a street team.
I do. It's called Kemp Camp. Oh, that's so much fun. Yeah, I have almost 500 members now. Mm-hmm. And I do like Teaser Tuesday, which is today, where I put teasers out for my sequel. I have giveaways. I do real life pictures. When I go north, I take real life photos of the places. I do contests like name the dog in my sequel, pictures of my kids and coonskin cats the other day.
Nice. That's nice.
It's hard to think of things. I mean, every day I'm trying it. So I do need, you know, sometimes some help thinking of new things, but it's just kind of a fun place where everybody can chat about the book.
So, you know, I just wrote a book called Social Media for Authors, and I'll be
happy. I know. Carla told me, and I need to get my hands on it.
Well, I'll send it to you in the email. Don't worry. And that way you can probably get some ideas and see, you know, if anything works for you. But, yeah, all right, cool. So if people want to find you online, I guess, can they join the street team, or do they, is there like a...
Public, so they can join. I just have to approve them. But, hey, chances are, unless you're a serial killer, I will approve you.
You'll use that in the book anyway.
I will.
So that's on Facebook?
Kemp Camp or Laura Kemp Author.
Okay, I'll put all that in the show notes. Don't worry.
But thank you.
I really appreciate you taking the time out of your, I know you're in the middle of a school day sitting in your
car. Oh, hey, this is a nice break. I'm in a quiet, air-conditioned car. So I'm loving it. I'm going back into a hot, stinky school here in a minute. So.
Well, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is Writer Nation.